Good morning, everyone. Welcome to NSPS Radio Hour today. Glad to have everybody back for another edition. One of the things that I enjoy so much about doing this show is as I travel about and visit organizations, visit with people, talk to people on the phone, just all kinds of different things occur that open up opportunities for the show. And that, I think that's what's helped keep the show vibrant over time is so many suggestions I get from people or people I meet who intrigue me and the things they're doing that intrigue me that help us to keep the show alive. And such an occurrence has happened to me during this last year. I can't remember how many times, but I've had a chance to meet some folks who are doing something that's really creative in my mind. And I will readily admit that I'm an old geezer officially now since I'm past retirement age officially, but nevertheless, maybe all the new technologies are surprising and interesting to me, but this one really struck me as being very, very interesting. So today, my guest is, and I'm going to get your name right, I promise, is Chaim Zelikovsky. Did I do that correctly?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. And Chaim is with a company called Datamate, and I had spoken with him and Elon, one of his representatives, at a couple of conferences over the last year, and saw them most recently, I guess, at the New England conference a couple months ago, or a little over a month ago, I guess, and thought it'd be a really great idea to have Chaim on the show today to talk about what his company is doing that I just find very interesting, and I think everybody in the audience will. I'm sure some of the people in the audience will already know about the company because you guys, Chaim, have been to some conferences in the States already, and I don't know how many exactly. But if you would just introduce yourself to our audience and talk a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about the company.
Gladly. Well, I'm the CEO of Datamate. It's a software company established a few years ago. And we are a leading vendor of field-to-plan applications, software applications, with our flagship product, Datagram 3D, allowing to do some field-to-plan work using regular cameras, and we'll discuss that in the coming hour. And I'm with Datamate for the last 3 years. I've got 20 years of experience in the software industry, developing new technologies, introducing new technologies into various markets, working with Fortune 500 companies. And with Datamate, it's been 3 great years developing a new technology that we believe provides a new paradigm for the surveying market, allowing surveyors to use regular cameras to do their daily type of work and to do their both surveyors and create their drafts and their maps directly on images of regular cameras.
And in reading some of the materials about the company, obviously some of the folks involved at least are have backgrounds in surveying. And I suppose that background was one of the things that led to this. But my understanding is it's not specifically surveying only. I mean, it can be used for other other types of work as well, I think. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct. Let me start with say a few words about our founder and chief technology officer. He's certainly from a surveying background. Our CTO, Dr. Jarush, is one of the founders and the chief technology officer. He's responsible for the development of the company's scientific and technological assets, and prior to founding Datamate, he founded and managed GeoPoint, which is Israel, to date, is Israel's largest GIS and surveying agency. He was managing that for many years, so he's got lots and lots of field experience with surveying. Indeed, referring to your second question, our technology is being used today not only by surveyors. I mean, we've got few hundred customers worldwide using technology. Certainly most of them are surveyors, but technology has also been used by mining companies, construction companies, civil engineers, even some architects using technology for some reconstruction work and types of that.
Yeah, and I had read a little bit about that in the materials that I got and was very intrigued by by all of that, of course, in looking at it. And then, of course, you have, I assume, I know you have some partners who are working with you here in the U.S. and I assume in other countries as well.
Oh, yes. The way we work is that we've got regional partners, companies like Western Digital Services, WDS, in Texas, or Allen Instruments in California, Arizona, or EGPS in Georgia, that locally support the technology and train customers and help them with getting the technology into their daily life, both in the U.S. as well as in Europe, of course.
Right, and actually before we came on air, Haim and I were talking about at EGPS, good friend Lonnie Sears is part of that company, and I was talking to Haim about knowing him so long and knowing how innovative he is, and it wasn't surprised at all that he was part of the program.
Yep.
So I don't know if there's more we need to talk about specifically. We know how the company was formed and kind of why it was formed. So maybe we should begin by talking a little bit about what is close range photography.
Yeah. Well, I'll, absolutely, Kurt. I think that I may only start with one word about our vision, and then I'll straightly dive into
what is
close photography. And that's our vision, that Automate's vision, is to really provide a step function in the productivity of surveyors through the new technologies of photography, image processing, mobile computing, and cloud connectivity. You see, we feel that these technologies have rapidly evolved in the last few years, very recently evolved, and there is a great opportunity to use this technology and to provide a real new set of tools and techniques for surveyors to work more efficient, safer, faster, and even more accurate. In that context, new tools that we have for close-range photogrammetry, we believe, are the first type of tool that provide this type of revolution. Close-range photogrammetry, essentially, is the technique of using regular cameras, and that's in contrast to metric cameras used by aerial photography. So, using regular cameras by the field crews in the field to take photographs of whatever they want to survey, and then do all the work, all the surveying, all the measurement, all the drafting directly on the images that were made in the field.
So that technology, it's based on what little I know about it so far, but just in reading some of the materials and things that you've said, seems as though it's the type of thing that one could use for pretty much any type of survey endeavor. I'm thinking, being an old-time surveyor, I'm thinking even of doing a survey where you were going to show a house and other features on a piece of property. I assume you could use this for that just as easily as anything else.
Well, yes, of course. Actually, the answer is yes, although, and we will discuss that later on, technology, of course, has its limitations. But if you look at the things that our customers are doing today with our software, we've seen customers surveying roads and intersections, stockpiles, industrial piping. We've seen bridges. We've seen property surveys or ALTA surveys. And as I've said, we've even seen architecture type of work like reconstructions and facades and things like that. So the answer is yes, you can do that. Most of the type of serving works that you will find on the daily life of surveyors. And I mean 1 to 250 scale type of works. And the reason is because you can pick up nearly any kind of camera. You don't need to buy any expensive dedicated metric camera. Anyone can take the photographs. Anyone working in the field crew can do that. You don't need to record at high precision the position or the orientation of the camera. You just go around the area that you want to survey and you just photograph it freely as you go around the area. Being very simple to operate and and simple to use and learn how to execute in the field, this really provides a very powerful tool for the daily type of work that surveyors are doing.
Is there any structured training that one needs to make sure you're gathering things in the proper way, or is it fairly intuitive?
Well, that's an excellent question, Kurt. In fact, let me point out that it's really that's not only for Datumate. A good lesson to remember is that it's never enough, you know, to buy a new technology. You know, you also need to, you know, to get a clear guidance of how to incorporate this new technology into your daily work. So this is a very good question, and I think everyone should look at any technology that they buy. In case of our software, it is actually quite simple to use, and we've got a lot of feedback coming from our customers using the software in Europe and in the U.S. Recent 2 years. Having said that, there is some best practice that we recommend, you know, to get optimal results from using the software. I mean, you can certainly pick up any camera that you want, but we would recommend certain types of cameras which would provide better results. We would recommend a certain best practice on how to make the photograph in an optimal way, so you won't waste your time in the field. You will really do it quickly and efficiently, and make sure that you've covered all the area that you wanted to survey. So we published these guidelines in the user manual, quite a detailed way, plus provide, of course, some training material so everyone can really go through it and learn how to use it. Typically, I would say that it would take several project to get hold of the technique and to optimally incorporate it into the daily life. So it doesn't take very long to do that. We usually work with the field crews and help them figure out, you know, the right ways to use the camera and to photograph the areas and how to pick up, you know, optimally pick up control points to georeference the images, that sort of thing.
All right. Well, we've got 45 seconds left, believe it or not, before our first segment is finished. So when we come back, I want to talk about what surveyors are actually doing with the technology. And maybe before we talk about that totally, we can talk about why it's emerged. So what seems to me, at least, is rapidly. It may have been coming for a really long time, but just, I think, to the typical surveyor out there who's just, you know, doing his work from day to day, this seems to be something that has emerged quite suddenly. So we know, when we come back, we'll have that conversation and follow up with more information about what people are doing and how the whole thing works. So let's go to that first break.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstadt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators, any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details or visit www.schonstadt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Quick steaks are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden steaks, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about Quick Steaks, go to www.quicksteak.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to our audience for our second segment today with Chaim Velikovsky. We're talking about Datumate and how it has been developed. And one of the things that is of interest, and we talked about training and a lot of other things in the first segment, but obviously cameras have been around for a really long time. So I guess a big question is why or how or what initiated this technology to emerge what is seemingly rapidly, at least.
Yeah, well, that's a very good question, Kurt. I think that it's really interesting because I'd say that photogrammetry as a technique to extract information from images has been with us for at least several decades, of course. However, what happened in the last, really, 2 years was a very, very big revolution in two key domains, which really allowed close-range photogrammetry now to become a very practical tool on a daily basis for surveyors. The first revolution is what we've seen happen with regular cameras. Actually, digital cameras have rapidly evolved in the last few years. By the way, driven by the evolution of smartphones, because now that every smartphone is equipped with at least an 8-megapixel camera, camera vendors had to provide at least 15 or 16 or 20-megapixel camera for the same price. So what we've seen in the last 2 years is that prices of cameras are either eroding or remain the same, but every year we get cameras with better and better resolution. So today, whenever you buy a camera, it'll be equipped with at least a 20-megapixel resolution. And I still remember the days where 20-megapixel resolution was the resolution of a $50,000 aerial camera platform. And today you buy that for $500. So we're all walking around with kind of a very, very high resolution, very high-quality cameras. Second revolution, or let's say continued evolution, in recent years was in the area of personal computing. Now, every regular PC that you buy is now equipped with multi-core, multi-CPUs, it is multi-threaded. These are all technologies that, you know, for just 5 years ago were only known in high-end servers. And we're now in the vertex of the evolution of these two domains. And the result is that every surveyor can now, for $500, buy a very, very high-resolution camera, which not able to do in the past, take the images and run software like ours, which is really very, very CPU-intensive, lots of algorithms, and it all works in real time. And he can just put all the images together, register them in real time, and georeference them, and just start drafting directly on the images. And that's really something that is only available in the last 2 years because of the revolution in digital photography and personal computing.
So when you're talking about drafting on the images, you're talking about adding information to what's already on the image? Or
well,
manipulating that information? Or
Actually, I refer to two things. If you consider what is the end result that surveyors are looking for. What they're looking for is some kind of a model of the area in terms of a map or a plan of the area that they survey. And what technology today allows surveyors is either to automatically create a digital terrain model of the area automatically from the images. That's one mode of operation. You can, for example, if you want to calculate the volume of a stockpile, then this can be automatically done by the software. You just pick up the stockpile on the image, and then the software would automatically, in real time, find the DTM of the stockpile and immediately allow you to calculate its volume. The second mode of operation is if you want to draft specific features. Let's say you want to survey an intersection, and you're interested in the curb lines, and in the middle of the road, and maybe even with the facades on the sides of the road or signs on the sides of the road, then what technology allows you today is just to pick up any feature that you are interested in any of the images, draft directly on the oblique image, and the software would automatically identify this object in all other images, which what would allow the software, in real time, to calculate the three-dimensional coordinates of that object. So in terms of the user experience, the surveyor just drafts directly on the oblique images whatever they want to draft, and they get a three-dimensional map or plan of the area created in real time. And that's really, really fun. I mean, it's been fun to develop it, and it's fun to see our customers really using that very effectively.
So that pretty much opens up anything that a surveyor does for this use.
Yes. I mean, as I said, we have dozens and dozens of case studies using our software, and really it's we just recently got a case study from one of our customers in California. They surveyed an intersection in Anaheim in California. I think it was the La Palma intersection. And what would usually take a whole day type of work, you know, you need to measure the curb lines and, you know, and the signs around the intersection. That'll be a field crew for at least, you know, a day. It took them about an hour to photograph the intersection, just walk to the perimeter of the intersection and photograph the intersection using a regular Samsung Mini NX camera mounted on a telescopic pole, a 20-foot pole. Then they made showed a small number of control points using their total station, and that's it. That was the work at the field. They didn't have to step into the intersection. There was no issue of occupational safety. Really, 1 hour, and they were gone. And all the rest of the work, all the rest of the measurements, all the rest of the drafting and creation of the final CAD plan was done in the office. That really, really made the work very fast and much safer than, you know, using conventional surveying technology.
Sure. Yeah, you struck a chord with me when you mentioned the stockpiles before, because I think I've mentioned on the show before, I can remember 30 years ago or more doing that with a plane table. and then, of course, aerial photogrammetry came about and made that task much easier to do than doing it with a plane table, and it sounds like what you're talking about now changes that paradigm again.
Yes, well, stockpile is a real, it's an interesting case study, because if you consider stockpiles, you consider how the serving of stockpile, and volumetric analysis of stockpile is done today. Well, in most cases, you need to climb the stockpile. You need to just walk on top
right.
of it. First of all, there's an occupational safety issue here of climbing stockpile, plus it is also usually less accurate, because your ability to really, really, you know, measure all the small structures on top of the stockpile and on the sides of the stockpile, you know, it's limited. So what you usually do, you do some kind of a, you know, estimation of the structure of the stockpile, and as a result of the volume of that. And that's a hard work, you know, climbing on stockpiles. It would usually be in active construction sites or mining sites. That's not the safest place. And I've seen sites where they had to shut down the operations while surveyors are serving the stockpiles. I mean, that's a big issue. Now, with close-range photogrammetry, this really, really becomes a very simple work. All you need to do is to photograph the pile, the stockpile, from different angles. You would usually do that. It'll be a small stockpile. You would install the camera on a telescopic pole and just walk around it. Or if you're able to do that, mount the camera, and we have customers doing that in Europe also, in other places, mounting the camera on a small UAV, a small copter, and just fly the camera around and photograph the stockpile. So, you know, in 10 minutes, they've got all the photographs they need of the area. And you shoot a few control points to georeference the images just around the pile, you're done. All the rest of the analysis is done in the office. You get a very, very accurate model of the pile. You can immediately calculate the volume. And you can do that in about 1 hour in the office. So that's a real paradigm change in the way stockpiles and landfills and typical other type of works are done today. That really makes a lot of difference for our customers using our technology.
And what we hope the surveyors do with that is to provide it to their clients as added value, which doesn't diminish the cost but perhaps increases the value of what you do, because it's timely and it's certainly accurate. And one of the things we tend to do sometimes when we get new toys to play with is we say, well, it took me less time, so therefore it's worth less. But to me, this is a value-added kind of thing because it gives you better information, really, from what we're seeing, and certainly in a different time frame.
Yes, this is true. This is very true. I absolutely concur. I mean, in many cases, the stockpiles themselves are inventory to the customers, and the accuracy and the ability to do that on a timely manner is a big issue. It's very important for them. Certainly, if you can do the work every week instead of every month, this is very very important to some of the customers of Surveyors. We've seen, by the way, and that's not only for stockpile, that's also true for roads and intersections and other type of surveys, which would typically take you several days in the field, in the office. We've seen our customers providing next-day delivery of works, getting the work, doing it, photographing in the morning, drafting on the images in the afternoon, and providing the work the day after. And that's certainly a value added that can be leveraged for the benefit of both the surveyors and their customers.
So we've got a minute and a half before the next break, but one of the questions that comes to mind is, I know this is relatively new use of technology. I won't necessarily call it new technology, but new use of technology. Are you guys somewhat unique in that? I mean, is this something lots of different people are doing, or are you guys pretty unique with this?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. We're not unique in the context that there are other companies that developed very good technologies to process images and create three-dimensional models. What is unique with Datumate is that we've made a lot of effort to make it into a useful tool for surveyors and for other civil engineer professionals. Because we believe that there is a basic difference, a fundamental difference between the ability to create a three-dimensional model for many type of purposes, such as architecture or archaeology or the filming industry.
I hate to break in, but we're right at another break. Mm-hmm. So when we come back, we'll pick up on this topic again because this is important.
Gladly.
So we'll be right
Gladly.
Back.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com, and thank you.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
We're at the stage of our show where our sponsor, Parker Davis Quick Stakes, sponsors our question of the day. And the first person to send the correct answer to quickstakescontest@americaswebradio.com will be our winner for today. So we're going to make it really simple question today, Chaim, for our audience. Perhaps you can once again tell us the name of the company and how it's spelled.
No, it's Datumate. It's D-A-T-U-M-A-T-E,
Datumate, and that's the answer we're looking for today. Thanks for participating in our contest today. Before we went to break, you were talking about value, and during break we talked a little bit about that, not only the stockpiles, but not having to be in the middle of busy intersections, which all of us surveyors have to endure from time to time or have in the past. So I had to interrupt you on that, so if you want to go ahead and follow up on that, we can finish that discussion.
Absolutely. If I look at the added values that closed range photogrammetry provides to surveyors and other civil engineering professionals. I would say that, first of all, it's a real step function in productivity. I mean, that's given. Works that take a whole day, like serving, you know, a mile-long section of a road or, you know, a highway or an intersection, take, you know, 1 to 2 hours in the field. It's a real-time server in the field. Plus in the office, because you can really do all your drafting directly on the images. It saves time also in the office. But the second thing is safety, occupational safety. You do not need to climb the stockwise. You do not need to step into traffic-laden roads. You do not need to walk, you know, onto the highway. You don't need to climb gas pipes. You know, these are all issues that we know. You know, these are all occupational safety issues, and we encounter on a daily basis. You can avoid them by using cameras. So that's a big issue for our customers. Then, and that's quite surprising, actually, it's also a higher quality. Just consider the fact that when you return to the office, you can see what was measured. You can actually verify that you measured all the things that you wanted to measure. If you're not sure, you can check it up again. And also consider the fact that when you use photographs, you typically have about 30 to 50 images of the area that you want to survey. You have multiple measurements. You've got lots and lots of redundancy because every pair of images would provide you with a coordinate. So you've got many, many, many readings, as you may consider, of the same coordinate. So you get lots of information about quality. And it really helps you with verifying the quality of the work, verifying that you've measured everything. And if you forgot something in the field, you can always pick up the images. As long as you photographed it, you can do the follow-up measurements from the images. You do not need to return to the field. These are very big issues to our customers. There's no doubt that the value is very, very clear using the closed mesh photogrammetry on a daily basis.
And I can see, too, you were talking about the vertical portion earlier, and again, just thinking back to that works that one has done over time, it appears as though you can get data on things that are hard to reach, like you were saying, you know, tops of buildings or roof ledges or whatever the case may be. I recall years ago I did a topographic survey of what is known as Columbus Plaza in front of Union Station in Washington, D.C., and it has a lot of fountains and steps and different elevations, and back in those days it was even pre-data collector. So you can imagine what it took to try to gather all that data, and you had so many points on top of each other. And it seems to me with this, the points you have, you'd have that three-dimensional aspect to them where you wouldn't have to try to figure out which of those points were stacked up, you know, what they actually were. I mean, I could see an application into something like that where you have so much data to gather in a small area.
Absolutely. Just consider the fact that today you would typically need to do some sketching in the field, drawing by hand, usually, just to allow the person sitting in the office to sort out what are these points that were measured in the field. Now with the images, when you do all the drafting directly on the images, you just don't need to do that. You have the images, and you do drafting directly on the images, you know exactly what you're measuring. So it certainly provides a nice appeal to work with closed-mesh photogrammetry.
So how does that compare with the photogrammetric side? I mean, obviously with photogrammetry you have images as well, taken in a different mechanism, of course, but how do those two things compare?
Well, if I compare aerial photogrammetry with closed-mesh photogrammetry, there are certainly several aspects that are different. Aerial photogrammetry will usually be employed using dedicated systems, dedicated metric cameras, dedicated aerial systems, so, you know, kind of very complex, very expensive, usually dedicated companies operating the technique. And most of them are using the known position and orientation of the camera in order to georeference the images. That's the usual technique, which, of course, limits the accuracy of using the technology. If you fly an airplane at 50, 5,000 feet and do aerial photogrammetry. You typically do that only for 1 to 500 scale type of work. So usually you will see that employed in large-scale service. Very efficient for large-scale service, but limited to large-scale service. In comparison, close-range photogrammetry is using regular cameras that are operated by the field crews, and the georeferencing of the images is based on a small number of control points that are measured in the field to georeference the images. And as a result, you can pick up any camera, or at least nearly any camera, and you don't need to know the position or the orientation of the images because this is calculated from the control points, from the georeferencing data. The result is that you can just walk around the area, freely make your photographs either by hand or by mounting the camera on the pole or by mounting the camera on a small UAV if you found that as an effective tool. And you don't need to care about the exact position or orientation of the camera. And this makes it a very simple tool to use in the field, a very powerful one as a result.
So with all the other new things that are coming along, and sometime soon, I don't know how it is other places in the world, but obviously in the U.S. there's a lot going on right now with the UAS and who's going to be able to use it and under what circumstances and those kind of things. Does that play into this whole discussion at all, or?
Yes. I mean, UAS is certainly an open question in the U.S. It currently looks like in a legal limbo in the U.S., but we do expect that to be sorted out quite soon. At this point in time, I think it was back in 2007 that the FAA had issued what they called a policy statement. It stated that it is not allowed to use UAS for commercial purposes in the U.S. But it's very clear that kind of there's an inconsistency in the policy here because everyone can buy them and use small copters for fun. And certainly there's no safety aspect that was promoted by the regulator for personal use. But it is not allowed to be used for commercial purposes. And we do expect that to change and to follow the situation in Europe where they made a clear distinction between the large UAVs, the fixed-wing UAVs that can go beyond line of sight and then can really go into commercial airspace. And for these, in most countries in the world, you would need a commercial pilot license to operate and, all that stuff. And they made a special category for the small copter, the small UAVs that remain in line of sight below a certain altitude, usually below an elevation of 300, 400 feet above ground level, limited them by weight, usually about 25 pounds. And for these, in most countries of the world, you will only need a small process of training to use them to make sure that you've got all the safety issues well understood. And you would be able to use them with certain limitations that we expect that there will be certain limitations, a safety distance for power lines or from airfield, stuff like that. But we do expect that situation to be sorted out in the U.S. In the coming, at least in the coming few quarters. Although rumors say that the FAA are going to issue a new set of policy statement for UAVs quite soon.
Yeah, that one reason I brought that up on my way into the office this morning, I heard a report on the radio about concern with strikes. This with the unmanned vehicles being in the way of airplanes or whatever the case may be. And of course, we tend to over react to everything in our country. So I'm not sure how dangerous all that really is, but it just came up on the radio this morning, so that was the reason I asked it. Well, we've got about, a couple minutes left before our next break. I don't want to shortcut the part on how this works, so I don't know if there's anything I've left out or haven't asked the right question in terms of how the system works.
Well, it is worth to, I think, discuss the issue of accuracy. I mean, after all, we are in the business of surveying, and accuracy is always an issue. So it's worth to elaborate a little bit about how accurate is close-range photogrammetry. that three parameters affect the accuracy of making measurements from images. First parameter would be the how good your camera is. I mean, the better is the camera's resolution, the better is the accuracy of measurement. Typically, if you use an 18-megapixel camera, and you measure things at a distance of about 100 yards, you typically get an accuracy of a few hundredths of a foot from the images. And I say typically because it also depends on an additional parameter, and that's how accurate you measure the position of your control points for the georeferencing. So if you do that measurement accurately, you would get a few hundredths of a foot accuracy of measurement using an 18-megapixel camera, which is pretty good for most type of works that we see surveyors doing on a regular basis.
Right. That makes sense. Well, when we come back for our next segment, we always have to get into every aspect. So obviously with anything we're going to do, there are limitations. So maybe we can talk about that when we come back. And I guess one of the first things surveyors will ask is, this certainly has a good application for safety when you're having to work out in the streets. You still have to go open the manholes, though. So, obviously, it's not going to work for that. But I know there are probably other limitations that we'll want to talk about as well. But I do want to discuss that when we come back. And since that'll be our last segment, maybe we'll talk more about how to adapt to the new technology and perhaps where technology is leading next. Maybe what you see on the horizon that could affect all that we do, including the use of close-range photogrammetry. So let's go to that break, and we'll be back for our last segment shortly.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Schonstedt Instrument Company has been making locating easier since 1953. First, with its yellow stick, the GA52CX, the industry standard for sensitivity. Then, the GA72CD, a shorter and more rugged version offering a magnetic polarity display and a battery and sensitivity indicator. And most recently, the GA92XT, built for portability. It retracts to fit in its holster and extends for one-handed operation and fingertip control. See them all at Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back for our last segment today with Chaim Zelikowski, and we're talking about Datumate and the technology that's involved and how surveyors can use that technology. And as we were saying before we go to break, everything that comes along has lots of good to it, and everything has its limitations. So maybe we could spend a little time talking about the cautionary tale of any limitations that people need to be aware of.
Sure, absolutely. I think that's a very, very important aspect, Kurt. I would start to say that the key success factor of incorporating any new technology is recognizing not only its power to bring value, but also its limitations, and understanding how to incorporate together with the existing technologies is what is really, really important. And as to using cameras for surveying and using close-range photogrammetry for surveying, I would say there are three key limitations which one should acknowledge. First one, which seems trivial, is that you must be able to see in the images what you want to measure. I mean, it sounds trivial, but you need to consider that you will be challenged in that context with any foreground obstructions like low-lying vegetation on cars or faces that obstruct whatever you want to measure. We highly recommend, in order to minimize the foreground obstructions in the images, to elevate the camera above ground level with any kind of technique that is practical. Many of our customers are using telescopic poles on which they install the cameras and control the cameras with Wi-Fi and just walk around the area they survey with the camera mounted on the pole. Another technique, as we discussed it already, is to mount the camera on the small UAV, on the small copter. So whoever can do that, and certainly do that in Europe, it is highly recommended, especially for larger projects like roads or railroads. It's very powerful. So first limitation is that you must be able to see what you want to measure. Sometimes you've got lots of low-lying vegetation, and if you don't see the ground, then you do need to measure some topographical points in that area. You need to just go there and measure them by hand. You won't be able to do that from the images. The second limitation is that you need at least two images that have a minimum angle between them. If you don't have a good angle between the images, it should be at least 30 degrees angle, then you won't be able to accurately measure the coordinate of that point. You need a minimum angle. And you will see that challenge when you try to measure inside something which has a very narrow field of view, like a tunnel or a trench. Closed-range photogrammetry will not be an effective technology to measure in these settings. I won't recommend using closed-range photogrammetry inside tunnels, for example, or between buildings that have very narrow gap between them. And third limitation which one should consider is that there must be some features on the measured surface, because after all, the whole idea is to identify a certain pixel, a certain point, a certain feature on several images. But if there's nothing there to find, then you can't measure it. And we've seen that with featureless surfaces like stockpiles of industrial-grade material that is the result of an industrial process. And as a result, you've got, you know, a cone that is completely white or completely black. There's absolutely no features on the material. Then you will reach the limit or the envelope of performance of closed-range photogrammetry. So the key takeaway from that is that closed-range photogrammetry will not replace RTK. It will not replace total stations, and it will also, you know, not replace laser scanners. It will certainly become a very important tool in the toolbox of surveyors and other civil engineering professionals, but you would still need, in many cases, to consider also using your total station or RTK to measure things that you cannot measure from the images. So the real success factor, the real key success factor, is to learn how to optimally incorporate this new technology together with your existing arsenal of surveying techniques. And that's the work that we do together with our customers, together with the field crews, when we work with them in the field, training them how to optimally do that.
Yeah, that was actually another question I was going to get to, and I think we touched on it early on, but not in depth, and that was the whole training aspect of this. And I guess one of the questions I had, too, is you were talking about customers using it on a telescoping pole, and if you're looking at an area, of course, if you've got it on the pole 10 feet above the ground or whatever, does the position of the camera have an impact? For example, if you're taking a photograph, you're going to be taking the photograph of what's in front of you, but I assume that camera has to be held on that pole with the pole level or vertical.
Usually they use a small setup on top of the telescopic pole that allow you to change the pitch of the camera slightly.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And if you use a 16-millimeter lens, a wide-angle lens, as we recommend, you have a very wide field of view. So all you need is to give the camera a small pitch, a 15-degree pitch, and you would get a very good field of view. And you can actually see what the camera sees in real time using Wi-Fi control and a small application that you download on your smartphone. All the camera vendors now provide applications to remotely control their cameras. So you can actually walk around the area that you survey with a camera installed on the telescopic pole, you can actually see what the camera sees and make photographs as you go around, as you go along on the area.
So back on the training side of it, does it come with tutorials that people are able to use? Do you I guess you would recommend that someone who is familiar would provide some training, maybe the folks who do your dealerships here in the States, for example. But are there tutorials as well that people can fall back on after the instructor's gone away?
Sure. I mean, first of all, there's a very detailed user manual that provides lots and lots of practical aspects of the best practice of how to take the photographs and how to pick up the best control points and the optimal control points in the area. And how to, you know, how to plan your walk. In addition to that, we've got tutorials, we've got, you know, some video clips on how to pick up the cameras, how to make the photographs. And with some of the partners, there's also a service of providing on-site training if someone wants that. We can do certainly some on-site training with some serving professionals and do some work together. And it could typically take a few projects to get a hold of the technology. With what I've seen customers doing in many cases, and I think it's a good way to incorporate this new technology, is at the first project they do, they survey as they would do with regular technology, I mean, with Total Station or RTK, but they also make photographs. So they can compare the work they did with the Total Station with the measurements from the photographs. And as they build more and more confidence in the technique, they reduce the number of points that are measured in the field and do more and more work directly from the images. So that's a process that we are happily support. We've got a great support team. All of them are surveyors, professional surveyors, and they happily support our customers with this process and questions or dilemmas or, you know, from planning the work to executing it. We are happily supporting them in this process.
Yeah, and that actually, when you mentioned that, had crossed my mind before, because there's nothing better for your peace of mind than to use new technology to confirm something you've already done or are doing a different way as well. That way, you know, you can say, well, I always think back to years ago, I was working on a project and GPS was being used for long distance control between points on a route survey, and an old party chief ran traditional work up over several miles and got within, I don't know, a few tenths of a foot or something. And his reaction was, that GPS is pretty accurate. Not as good as his work, of course, but it's a peace of mind thing, I guess, is what I'm getting at. That is a good way to approach it, so that you feel comfortable that what you're doing actually works out the same as if you did it a different way.
Absolutely.
In terms of
that's very common for our customers to measure, in addition to the control points, to measure another set of points for the sake of verifying the accuracy. So they measure these points both from the total station as well as from the images as a mean to verify the accuracy of the work done from the images. So we've seen that done quite a lot.
Well, in the business of change, and with things happening so rapidly and having been changing so rapidly in the serving profession over years, how does one, starting something as innovative as what you have, look into the future and say, okay, what's next?
Well, the future is going to be fascinating. I can tell you that we are really excited with what the plan in the future. Where we certainly see mobile computing and cloud computing as a very key aspect of the future of the technology in this domain. We think about taking the technology into the field and connecting the field to the office in real time through mobile computing and cloud computing. This would certainly be part of our near-term future in 2015. And later on, if I look, you know, kind of you know, beyond the horizon, I would say that using video technology is the next thing that we will all be looking at, because, you know, making things even simpler than using a regular camera. will be just to pick up any regular video camera and just video the area and just walk around. But that's 2016 and beyond. But this is also pretty exciting stuff coming on in 2015.
Well, that's kind of interesting that you are looking into the faraway future as being 2016 in terms of technology revolution. So I guess that says a lot about where we are in technology, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
Considering that, you know, for so many years surveyors use the same tools for decades and centuries, and now we're talking maybe a couple of years from now. So, well, we've got about a minute left, so before we get too far along, I wanted to be sure to thank you for joining me today and spending the time on the phone with me and sharing this information with our audience.
It's been a real pleasure, Kurt, to be on the radio show, so thank you very much for the opportunity. And I would invite everyone to see, we'll have a showcase of the technology actually in New York in the annual conference of the New York State Association of Professional Land Surveyors coming in, I think it was the 22nd of January in Verona, New York State, and we'll be showcasing the technology and demonstrating it, and everyone are invited to see that.
You may very well get to see some snow.
Oh, that'd be great.
While you're there.
Well, you know, the more snow we'll have, the more surveyors will be in the conference.
Well, that's true.
Snow is good.
Well, again, thank you so much for joining me today, and our reception's been great all the way from Israel to here. So thanks again for being with me. It's been a great pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much, Kurt, and have a great day.
You too. Take care.